Hi there, everyone, and welcome to the Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco. We are coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and today is January 18, 2007. For today's show, we are lucky enough to be doing an interview with Anne Dahlgren. Anne Dahlgren, along with her husband Douglas Folk, put together this fantastic book called A Fairy's Child. I was lucky enough to come across this book a few years back in New York. I love theatrical photography and I love mythological portraits and photographs. So this is going to be a really, really fun interview, especially for me, and I hope for you too. And rather than just talk about it, let's get into it now. So I'd very much like to welcome Anne Dahlgren today. Anne Dahlgren is a fine art photographer and author of the book A Fairy's Child that she did with her husband, Douglas Folk, who is also a fine art photographer. He's hanging around closely and maybe we'll be able to hear from him during this interview. But we definitely love to get a feel for this book called A Fairy's Child, which is just a wonderful, wonderful piece of what I might call theatrical photography. Hi there, Anne. Can you tell us a little bit about your book?
Hi, Marco. Well, as you said, the book is called A Fairy's Child, and it's an exploration of fairies in some pretty fantastic environments. And basically, the book started as just an idea for Doug and I to do a fun photograph of a fairy.
And then how did it evolve into a full-on book?
Well, the idea actually started on a commercial shoot that we were on in Florida. And this art director we were working with started telling us about this island in off the coast of Maine where people build little fairy houses. And we thought, well, that's pretty cool. I mean, we'd never heard of anything like that before. And so we just started brainstorming about the possibility of actually making a photograph of a fairy that looked real but yet was mysterious and ethereal and all the things that we love about photographs. So basically it started out with us producing one photograph, and from there it just kind of led to another, which led to another, which led to another. And at some point, I guess, after we had maybe 20 or 30 finished prints, we thought, well, you know, maybe we could make this into a book. So that's how it started.
How long did it take to photograph all the photographs?
Well, we basically did it on our free time in between, you know, what we do commercially. So we worked on it, I think, over a period of 4 to maybe 5 years.
4 to 5 years, okay. Mm-hmm. And where did you find the children? Were they local children? Were they relatives? Were they actors?
They were everything. Basically, since we 90% of our commercial work is on location, so every time that we were someplace and we came across some, you know, really interesting location, we would then plan to either go back or else stay after our commercial shoot to actually do the photograph for the book. So sometimes we would do a casting locally to find some models. Other times they were friends of friends or family members. It kind of was, you know, whatever, wherever we could find somebody that fit our idea of, you know, our little fairy.
For those listeners that haven't found this book yet, I'm going to be putting some links to Anne and Doug's site, so hopefully you might be able to find it through there and see extra pictures. But I just wanted to tell people that I was actually blown away when I found this book wandering through Soho about 2 years ago. I personally love theatrical photography. I love mythological images. Love fairies, and it was just an absolute treat to find this book in a little bookstore. So if there are still books available, I highly recommend searching for them and getting your hands on them. And we'll put one or two on our site just so you could see what we're talking about, and then you can check out Anne and Doug's site after that. I'd like to ask you, Anne, what is your personal connection to fairies? Is it a subject matter that's interested you all along? Is it a relatively new thing?
No, it's, I mean, I'm not the type of person who has professed to have seen fairies in real life or anything like that, although we have found that there are people like that out there. We've gotten quite the interesting emails from people that have discovered our book, and we've found that there's a whole world out there of fairy lovers. But no, it was just, it just sounded like a challenging and fun subject matter to try to create these photographs. So I wouldn't say that I have any particular connection with fairies.
Though I know, okay, well, it's too bad. I'm sure a few people would have loved to have heard the opposite, but
I know.
it's all good. I have no personal connection to them myself. I just love the way they look from my childhood.
Uh-huh.
So just curious, do you both photograph at the same time?
Well, sometimes, usually what we'll do is when we are producing a shoot, I would work a lot on the costume, the makeup, getting the kids outfitted in their ears and their wings and all that entailed. And we would talk about, you know, different cameras and films that we were going to be using. And usually Doug would start shooting, and then I would shoot some. You know, a lot of times we would have several different cameras with different films loaded, so you know, he could pick up one, I could pick up another, and we could direct the child in, you know, whatever way we felt was the right way to go.
So it's totally a collaborative effort then. You guys just
totally
work on all these projects absolutely together.
Yes.
Excellent, excellent. So I'd like to always ask, what was your first camera? How did you get into photography?
Well, for myself, it started, back in camp, so I was probably 10. And we had a little dark room at the camp that I went to, and that was where I took my first photographs and processed and printed my first prints. I know for Doug, it started with him at prep school, and his story is he was told that he should take photography because he could smoke in the dark room. So that's where it started with him.
And is he still smoking in the dark room?
I don't think so.
Good. Very nice. For the tech heads out there, they're going to wonder how these photographs were created. The first thing that will probably come to mind for a lot of people is going to be Photoshop, but I'm not convinced that's the case. Can you give us a little insight into how these photographs were created?
Sure. Well, all of them were created using traditional black and white film. Most of the times we would shoot with T-Max 100 or 400 and Kodak infrared film. We were lucky enough to have put a dark room into our house, so we would come home after the shoot and process and make prints of what we had just shot and then work from there. So pretty much 98% of what you see in the photographs was actually there. I mean, we had a special effects makeup artist make us some prosthetic ears for us. We had a costume designer make us a set of wings. And then from there, we basically started making our own costumes, our own wings, and things like that. But over time of traveling with these things and taking the ears on and off, you know, all these kids, they started to disintegrate, and we eventually had to have more ears made. Towards the very end of the book, when we were kind of on a deadline with our publisher to bring in, I don't know, a certain amount of images, the wings really were trashed at that point. So we started experimenting with photographing insect wings, primarily cicada and butterfly wings, and then putting those onto the last images that we had shot in post-production. So really that's the only Photoshop and that we really used, and it really wasn't until the end of the book process that we started utilizing Photoshop.
Very, very interesting. So really, these kids are against real backgrounds. The backgrounds that you're going to see in all the photographs, those were the backgrounds on location?
Yes, definitely. And like I said before, when we would go on location and we would find these, you know, interesting spots, that's when we would decide, okay, this is, you know, this is our next location, and we would go back and produce the shoot. I mean, we shot a lot in western Florida where the banyan trees are. That was actually our very first shoot was in the Sarasota, Florida region. And just the way that the banyan trees grow, you know, it's pretty fantastic. So we started with that. We shot in locations, California, Colorado, New York, you know, kind of wherever we found a spot that, you know, spoke to us.
For certain of the images, it looks as though the children are flying almost, or one in particular that I have the luxury of looking at right now, one of the children look almost suspended or flying. How would that have been accomplished?
Well, she was flying. we did a few shoots in the studio, and one particular shoot that we knew we wanted to do was to actually have a fairy flying. So we hired a rigger or a grip person from the movie industry to come into the studio and set up this whole harness system where we could actually fly her. So that, I think the shot that you're probably looking at has two fairies in it.
Yes,
and,
it is.
Basically, we designed the set in the studio, and then we had the two girls take turns in the harness flying.
Fantastic. If you were going to attempt this today, would you go more Photoshop, or would you still try and do it the traditional way?
I think now, since we do use Photoshop, you know, every day in what we do, we probably would utilize Photoshop a lot more. It just wasn't something that we were using on a daily basis at all back when we started this project. I think we started it in 1997, so everything we did was on film and there.
Okay, so again, it's just, you know, we keep hearing this all the time. Photoshop has become, you know, a pretty important tool for photographers these days, and we're using more tools, and it's just a tool that we can use instead of hiring a rigger, let's say, to have someone fly.
Right. I mean, it definitely cost us, you know, a lot more money to actually produce the photographs the way that we did, but that was the way that we went about it. I mean, we didn't really think about doing it in any other way at that time.
As an artist for you, is it more satisfying to have done it the old-fashioned way?
Sure. It was, I mean, it was just so exciting to be able to have a vision and put it all together, go to a location, make it happen, bring the fog machine and, you know, the whole deal, and come back and have on film what we really imagined was there versus sitting in front of the computer and making it happen.
Right.
So, yeah, I think, you know, there was a sense of accomplishment, definitely, just after all the work that we went through.
A well-deserved feeling of accomplishment. On another technical level, I'm curious, actually. I noticed some of the pictures are quite soft, which really adds to the mood of it. Were you using soft focus filters as well, or was that done in the printing? How was some of the softness achieved on the photographs?
Well, it was done both with filters, with particular lenses, and also diffusing again in the darkroom. I know in some of the photographs we used an old lens that Doug had, which is a old Imogon portrait lens, and it just has this wonderful quality of having a very minimal amount of focus to it. So that was always a fun lens to put on the camera. But yeah, we would shoot with soft tar filters and diffuse again in the darkroom.
For good effect, for absolutely good effect. Are you going to be doing any other theatrical style themes or concepts in the next little while, or do you have projects similar in nature for the near future?
We don't have anything in the works at the moment. We've thought about it. We have a lot of images that we played with in the process of this book that were edited out in the process of you know, our publisher wanting a certain look to the book. For instance, we photographed a lot of old people to make it a little bit more of a scary, edgy feel to it. And we did a whole section of underwater photographs. where we actually had the fairies in the pool, and we were down there with them with scuba tanks and photographing them, you know, under the water. So there's potential for another aspect to this whole fairy project that we would love to continue with. We just haven't had the time recently.
Well, when you do have it done, please think of me. I definitely want a copy.
Okay.
For those people who are going to be intrigued by this book, is it still available? How can they get their hands on it? Can they get their hands on it?
Well, at this point, we just were informed that the first printing, which was 10,000 copies, is sold out. In fact, we only actually have two copies, I think, of our own. So we are waiting to hear back if Abrams is going to do another printing. If they don't, then we will have the option to try to take that someplace else to have another printing done. So hopefully we'll keep it out there. At this point, your guess is as good as mine as to where to find them.
Okay. At least for now, though, I guess, thank goodness for websites. If people want to see some of these images, I know there's a lot of them available at anndahlgren.com. I'm going to put that in the show notes. Ann Dahlgren is spelled AnnDahlgren.com if people want to go directly, but I'll put the link in the show notes as well. And I believe Anne has allowed me to put a couple of the images on my blog to intrigue you to go to her site, because it's also a fantastic site with a lot of images left from the book.
Right. The direct link to the fairy website is afairieschild.com. So you can go directly to the book's website also, which has a short little flash movie with some images from the book.
And I'm going to put that link in the show notes as well.
Okay, great.
So I'd like very much to thank Ann Dahlgren and Douglas Folk. Unfortunately, Douglas wasn't able to be on the line for technical reasons, but we were lucky enough to speak with Ann today, and I absolutely thank her. So thanks so much for agreeing to do this, Anne. I know it was a pretty spontaneous request, but I've been in love with your book for a long, long, long time and your style, and it's really been my pleasure to speak to you today.
Great. Thank you, Marco. It's been a pleasure.
So thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And so that was our interview with Ann Dahlgren. We really hope you liked that interview. I know I learned a lot, and I appreciated it. And we're going to have more interviews for you in the next few weeks as well. If you would like to comment, please do so either through the blog, photography.ca/blog, or through the bulletin board. You can just click on the link and find your way there. And you can leave comments and suggestions and anything else you like in either of those two places. So thanks very much for listening, everyone. And we'll be back probably next week, and we'll bring you either another interview or some knowledge. Either way, you'll get knowledge on both. So take care, everyone, and happy shooting. Bye for now.